Hey, what's up, everybody? Here is Juan Baez again with another episode of Edification and Wellbeing. I am your personal physical educator. And today, I'm going to start with a series of episodes about the senses, right? All of the human senses, you know, hearing, sight, touch, etc. And a series, in each episode of that series, I'm going to talk about one sense in specific, and that way I can just maybe dig deeper into each one of the senses and the latest research or research that I can find, and maybe even have conversations with people about these senses here in the podcast. So it's going to be a series of all of the senses as detailed as possible. And then after the series, then I'm going to do another one or two episodes on technology and the senses, right? And how technology, in one way, is messing with our senses, right? And just, I would say, hurting them. But also I'm going to talk about how technology is being applied for rehabilitation, scientific purposes, how to augment the senses and whatnot. Before I continue with the introduction, I want to let you know you may hear the audio a little different. I am inside my car. I'm just waiting for one of my family to be out of a doctor's appointment. So, and it'll take some time. So I took advantage of that, and I'm recording. But I'm nearby Principal Avenue, so you might hear some car horns and maybe some noise. I have my windows up, but hopefully there's not going to be much. Problem with that. However, you it'll sound a little different than normal where I'm, you know, recording in my home office. Okay, so continue with the introduction. A little housekeeping here, as always. Thank you for listening to the podcast and the support. I had great support in the previous episode with Zoltán István, the transhumanist. He's a politician and he's a futurist. And it was very interesting conversation. So, and that's what I'm looking for: people who I can have like super interesting conversations with in the podcast. So, if you're one of them, send me a message, and we'll make it happen. Okay. I opened a Patreon website. I think I mentioned it before or in a previous episode. I had one a few months ago, and then I closed it. I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't have time to deal with it. So I reopened a Patreon site in an effort to find supporters to the podcast and for me to, let's say, acquire more research and all of the things that I can do to improve upon the quality of the audio or the reach that I can have for the podcast. So you're going to have a link in the description of this episode. It's going to be patreon.com/EW podcast. And all of the information. There's different tiers, and from each tier, there's different like things you're going to get. Of course, like if you support the podcast, then I believe that you should have something in exchange. So there is different things. One of the things is that you're gonna have the opportunity to ask questions, right? Sort of like a Q&A session. And this is not ready yet in this aspect. But I will be announcing at least a week in advance when I am going to launch an episode with some professional, right? And then I'm going to put a description of this professional in my social media and whatnot, and with a link to my Patreon where you can ask the questions. As an example, well, it already happened, right? Hopefully I can have him again. But let's say I have Zoltán István again, then I'm going to put that a week in advance. And I bet you we'll have a bunch of interesting questions about transhumanism and, you know, its implications to our future and to health, to science, and all of these things. And that would be very interesting. Okay, so I will put the link there, and I will encourage you to support this podcast via Patreon. Okay, another thing that you will be having, no matter what tier you support, which is, it could be from $1 up to, I think it's, I remember, well, it's $15. All of the references, starting from this episode on, all of the references, let's say articles or book references or videos or even other podcasts, I will be sharing them on the post of each episode on Patreon, just for Patreon supporters. So, and it's going to be either the link to the article or to the paper or whatnot. And if it's a PDF document that I've had access to, and I want to share it with you too. So whenever available or possible, I'm going to share that PDF document so you can download it and use it for your knowledge and advantage, or for your work and edification. Okay. So that's it for Patreon. After that, another thing that I have activated, that's activated in my Anchor .fm app, which is the platform that I use for podcasting, recording, and editing, and launching and sharing. There is a button that you can press and send me a voicemail or voice message. That's awesome, because that way I can know a little more about you. All right, so that's going to be in also the description of this episode, the link for the voicemail. It doesn't matter where you're sending it, like if you're on your phone or your computer or whatnot. But it would be great for many different things. One, I want to know who you are. I want to know why you like my podcast. If you don't like it, even like that, let me know, and that'll help me with some insight. Also, that will... you can let me know about the things you'd like to hear when it comes to, again, science, health, learning, culture, and whatnot, and how these things are brought together, and that will give me more ideas for more different topics to bring to the podcast. Also, you can also let me know how have you, moved forward, or how this podcast have helped you, or in either... intellectually or occupationally or even socially, right? Bringing different topics for conversation with your friends, family, colleagues, and whatnot. So I will encourage you, and I will really appreciate that you send me a voicemail via my Anchor. And, if it's a cool thing, I will even put it at the beginning of each episode and say a thank you for the episode and, shout out to your name and whatnot. And that will be a really, really cool thing. And it's free, so you don't have to worry about that. Just go to my anchor.fm site. I'm going to put the link there, and you can do it. Okay, so next thing real quick is sharing research. I've been asking for research. One of the things that I've been doing, the reasons that I've been doing this podcast, is as a support, or as a one to edify as a professional. I'm a personal physical educator, right? Think of a personal trainer with a wider scope of practice. Right? I do have a bachelor's in physical education. I have worked in physical therapy. I have certifications that are more related to analyzing human movement and helping people move better and whatnot, not just a typical right fitness experience. But anyways, and also because I'm writing a book on the science of physical education and the culture of physical education and fitness and the social aspects of it. So if you have any research that you can share with me, PDFs or links or whatnot, or access to research that you may have, you can send it to me. That's another way to support the podcast that is not necessarily a monetary way. And I will really appreciate having that information. And in fact, you can contact me while you send, or let me know if you would like to discuss that research with me on the podcast. That would be a great way to have conversations with you. And if you are a health professional, fitness professional, scientist, or teacher, or whatnot, right, related to the things that I talk, then you will have the chance to talk with me in the podcast, and you will. I will put all of your information on social media and name and description of who you are and whatnot, so then other people can reach out to you and see your job or your work. Okay? Contact me. In general, even if you don't search, if you don't share research, if you are a someone who works in the fields of science and culture and learning and health, then you can contact me for a conversation in the podcast. Let me know who you are, what within those fields, what is your specialty, and we'll schedule and begin communications to make it happen. That would be very interesting. And again, every invite that I have, then is sort of like a little marketing exchange, because I always put your social media contact, websites, a little description of who you are, and I'll share it on all of my social media and different mediums, where I share the podcast. Okay? So that's it for the housekeeping. So now for the episode. Remember, it's good. This is going to be a series of episodes related to this, the human senses, right? And the reason for this series, besides, of course, the importance of knowing about the senses, and which I think, you know, most of us know at least a little about this, right? At least the basic and fundamentals. But the reason is the, in my understanding, in my opinion, the underuse in this of these in, let's say, education and health and fitness, and even in medicine, or medical advice, and the dampening of the virtues of the senses, and the importance of them in this modern world, right? Still, and how, unfortunately, we're damaging them, right? For example, we use shoes that, or footwear that overprotect us from the ground. We use clothes that block us from the sun, from the wind, from the rain, from the touch of others and other external things. And sometimes that clothes or inhibits our movement, damaging that sense of touch, right, and all of the benefits of it. We always look for stability and flatness in our surfaces, and that inhibits our proprioception, which is extremely important. I'm going to explain that later on. We plug in headphones and listen to TVs and, well, podcasts, right? And that will be kind of like throwing myself under the train, but I have to be completely honest. And sometimes we avoid the very sounds of the surrounding, right? That help our sense of sound or hearing, to regulate constantly to understand, for example, the distance of where something is coming from, or the direction where something is coming from, and how to regulate different sounds, right? That hurts the senses a little bit, right? We mostly look at two-dimensional screens and, you know, very little three-dimensional world around us. And when we feel like we are not seeing well, instead of forcing ourselves a little bit, when I talk about the sense of sight, I'm going to mention exercises that we can do to improvement of the vision. But when we feel like we're not seeing well, what do? We get a little more lazy. We get lazier. We get our heads and faces closer to the screens or to the books, or we use glasses that do the job or the work for our eyes and whatnot. We kill natural smells, right, and odors every single time to please our noses and comfort, because everything has to smell, you know, like flowery, bubblegum, lavender, or, you know, patchouli or whatnot. And that also hurts our senses, right? And, you know, for example, I've seen people who, it's a little gross, right, but when they fart, I've seen people who literally hang out with a can of Febreze. And they shower themselves in freaking Febreze. And I'm not saying smell your farts, right? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that it is a natural odor and it's going to go away, right? And in a sense, it also helps us with creating resistance to the things that are out there that are just natural. And not everything has to be extremely comfortable and pleasant, right? So anyways, and then when it comes to the taste, we avoid experiences of different tastes and flavors, and it becomes, you know, and become comfortable with what we already like. And as a former chef, I can literally talk about that, about how people have, many people have lost their sense of taste, or they don't understand certain things just because there's always have to be the same exact flavors that makes them feel good, or, you know, because they feel safe and comfy with certain flavors, then that's going to be it. And there's no other thing. Plus the textures of the food, which has to do with the sense of touch and whatnot. And we stop somewhat learning about nature and the world around us just because we want to be comfortable. And that applies to every single sense of us, in us, okay? And, we know we have the sense of smell, touch, taste, sight, and audition. And like many other professionals, I would add the sense of proprioception, okay? Proprioception is the capacity of our body to react quickly subconsciously, quickly to, let's say, rapid and harsh changes of direction, position, floor level, strong winds, water currents, right, when we're in water and whatnot. And I'll talk about later. And in fact, as I said, although all the senses work together at almost every level, or some level at least, of course, with the exception of people who are born with some neurological problems, I will separate them so I can talk about them, separately, and have a little more, I would say, reach within each one of them. Okay, our senses are a very necessary tool that we need to live as a species. I'm talking cognition, I'm talking perception, I'm talking intelligent movement and consciousness itself. And even they're not being, even if they're not perfect, right, sometimes we sort of like get misled by our own senses, it is important to know about them. Okay, and we can all agree that without these, our lives would be somewhat different, right? We wouldn't be humans, or the species we are, let's just put it that way. We'll start with the first sense of today. Do you want to touch? All right, so if you're still listening, then yes, you want to touch. Okay, so the sense of touch, many argue, is one of the most important, right? It's this thing that connects us to the external world, in the physical way, right? This is the sense of touch is super cool and interesting. That sensation, of a soft feather, or the breath and warmth of your partner when you're having sex or making love, right? The texture of that amazing food that made you remember something, or that made you want more. Or I can talk about, the heat of the burning sensation when you grab a cast iron pan while it is super hot and you scream, "Fuck!" And although we may not remember it, the powerful stimulus in our nervous system when we touched something with any part of the body when we were babies, right? That provided information about the world, and that's through the sense of touch, okay? And this sense plays a big role in our development throughout entire life. From before birth, in fact, since we started forming as a fetus in our mom's womb, up to the day we die, they still work. And that's very important to keep in mind. And one thing that I've noticed, I mentioned that they work throughout life, right? And one thing that I've noticed while working at schools, while I was working at schools or rehab clinics or gyms, or, training people of all ages and conditions, and even athletes, is that when I mention or talk about the sense of touch, they tend to look at their hands, just the hands, right? I understand that the hands represent such a sense in a way, right? But when I mention that our sense of touch literally is in every single part of our bodies, people frown. Right? But literally, I mean, we are exposed to the world through our second largest organ, right? Which is the skin. And literally with every single part of the skin that you touch, or any single part of the skin that you touch anything, you can take face, legs, hands, feet, whatever, you can feel. Okay, and the thing is that the sense of touch feels different in different body parts, and these provide information in different ways for different purposes, right? We can feel the heat, we can feel the wind, we can feel cold or warmth, we can feel sound waves and vibration when music is like super loud, or when there's any big noise, we don't just hear it, right? Sometimes we feel it in our heads, and that's a sense of touch too. We can feel water and wetness and most textures. And when our skin is exposed to the world, literally come in contact with it, okay? And of course, I'm not proposing that we roam around naked, and that, you know, but that as much as possible, let our skin touch the world and let the world, you know, touch us, even naked if possible, right? I would say, you know, of course, being careful, taking precautions, right? And, you know, maybe at home or, right? But there is a different sense of touch and sensations and learning and stimulus to the body. Let's say when you go, when you take a shower, versus when you jump in a pool with clothes, right? It's totally different. And exposing the world to all of the body to all of these different things, then helps a lot and provides much more information and, you know, help with many other things that I'll be mentioning. Okay. So let's take our feet for example. Okay, as a personal physical educator, and with what I do, I call it integrative physical education. I include barefoot movement in my classes. Right, one of the things that I do help people that I would say I used to help people move better, have better posture, and even rehabilitate is the inclusion of foot movement and stretches. Right, this is very untypical. When I'm consulting somebody and they hear that I'm talking about foot or hand exercises and things like that, they're like, no, well, you know, that doesn't help me get a six pack, but it does help you move better and interact better with the world. But I include these things because they're extremely important. In fact, it's been found that, let's say, tribes that still live in nature and whatnot, they use a lot of these things that are always barefooted and they're using their hands a lot, and they tend to be able to be much more functional throughout their lives versus, you know, people who use, they say, shoes all day or restrictive shoes and whatnot, okay? And an article from the Spanish website Bebés y Más, or Babies and More, it is mentioned that they mention about the importance of letting our babies experience the ground as a way for them to develop cognition, intelligence, and intelligence via neurogenesis, right? And that making them wear shoes at such early stages before they even learn to walk can harm their development in all senses and in all aspects, right? They will not, at that age, the nerve endings throughout the whole body are literally on fire. They're just seeking information and looking for things. So the more we protect them, I know it sounds a little contradictory, we want to protect our kids, but in that sense, the more we protect it, the more we wrap them with long pants and long sleeves and hats and glasses and shoes that are extremely protective, the more we are literally harming their capacity to get information from the world and to develop better, not just as a body, but as individuals and as part of a society. Okay? And it comes down again that there's so many nerve endings and proprioceptors and little muscles and joints that, and the fascial tissue, which by the way, the fascial tissue is the biggest organ in the body, that helps with such things such as balance, the tact, and posture. When we put shoes on our kids, we're just shunning that. We're inhibiting that. Okay. They mentioned in this article of this Spanish website. You're gonna have the link in Patreon. They mentioned, for those who speak Spanish, or you can translate it, they mentioned something they call cognitive equilibrium. Okay, I'm going to do later on more research in it. And that every time we come in contact with the world, then we develop cognition and consciousness, you know, on it. We literally learn the textures of the ground, of the grass, or the sand, or the soil, or the tree. We feel how the wind feels, right? And then the strength, the wind is blowing, we feel the humidity, we feel the skin of others, we feel, you know, concrete and glass and all of the things that are out there And every time we become in contact with the world, then of course the much more information we have, and the much more our brains develop better regarding all of the things that surround us, right? Textures, temperatures, density, weight, and whatnot. And so we're learning about the world in a more integrative way, as opposed to, let's say, watching a video or listening about it or reading about it. And so we learn to manipulate things better, how to interact with other things and other people even better, right? We learn control about our movement so that, let's say, when we swing a hand, we don't hit somebody hard if we're playing, etc. When we are doing handshakes, we don't get too rough and whatnot. So we learn about the things. And the sense of touch promotes not just information about, information about things, but information related to spatial orientation, right? And somewhat I've mentioned it that, but I want to go a little more in detail. Spatial orientation, right? Know where you are in space and time and how to relate to these things, okay? I've seen adults who, you know, find it hard to walk in crowded places or even in the market. You know, there's like, they don't, this sense of walking out and avoiding to hit someone. I see it a lot on I live in Florida, and Central Florida, so we're very close to Disney. And we go, I would say, you know, enough times, sometimes too much a year. And I observe a lot the behavior of people and the coordination and try to discern their physical literacy. And boy, it's incredible how to see people who can't move well in crowded places. So that's very important, and that's something. And these are people, for example, who I see that are, I don't know if there's a relation, direct relations, but at the moment I see them, they're wearing, you know, excessive clothes and shoes that have, you know, like the sole is 2 inches wide and, or thick, I'm sorry. And perhaps that helped, that is related to that. The sense of touch also promotes the knowledge of body geography, right? Knowing about your body and how to use it, okay? You would say, or many people would say, this is physical literacy, but physical literacy is not just body geography, but also how to use the body and how your body at a subconscious level interacts with the environment. So there's much more to it. But anyways, I've seen people in their 20s, for example, that when you say go left, they go right, or they stop and get angry. I don't know which side you're talking about, just point. And not just in their 20s, I mean, when I used to work in physical therapy, even older people, right? They didn't know the difference between right and left. If I would demonstrate a movement, and this had happened before in fitness classes and gyms and whatnot, I would demonstrate a movement, and they would find it extremely difficult. And sometimes these are very simple things, such as, let's say, you know, waving the fingers and whatnot for occupational therapy, or exercises that I include for more sensorial things that are not very athletic movements, and still many people have difficulties. And it's just because they're finding it difficult to sort of like find the muscles and the little areas that they need to activate for that. So it is very important. It also promotes, the sense of touch promotes dominance, right? A control of the movement. And you know, control of a movement, as I mentioned a few seconds ago or a few minutes ago, right? Which, let's say you're shaking hands with someone, you don't squeeze too hard, you don't squeeze too soft. If you're doing a little rough play, which is very important, right? If your kids are doing little rough play with their neighbors or their little brothers and whatnot, then they start learning, okay, so I can punch this soft, I can push this soft, I can pull this soft. This is how it feels when they touch me or when they push me or whatnot. And that way I create much more control of my actions and my movement and whatnot. And again, see, all of these things are in part not just academic, but social and even for emotional growth, right? Understanding how something feels helps us have much more, a deeper understanding, again, and control and better appreciation and control of our emotions when we feel something, as compared to not understanding how things feel, and it's like something different and the emotions go haywire and we go crazy and we get angry or too excited, right? Having work in rehab, I've mentioned it, as example, rehab patients, or let's say a stroke patient that loses the sensation and control of the other affected side, I've seen how frustrating it is for them to interact with things, with others, with themselves, and to be able to learn new things. It's very difficult because the sense of touch is not there. And of course, this is a sort of like a unique condition. But you can compare that to, let's say, wearing shoes that are extremely restrictive, not just restrictive in the sensation of the ground, but also restrictive in movements. And this little by little start creating muscle atrophy and pain and all that, which inhibits the sense of touch on our feet, and so that we can learn more about the ground and surfaces and ankles and angles and textures and whatnot. Okay, and that tells us that touch goes beyond physical sensation, right? I mentioned that people get frustrated and they get angry. So it goes beyond physical sensations, right? Also, our memories are influenced by the sense of touch, right? I mentioned food at the beginning, right? You may be eating something today that reminds you of a situation or a relationship, right? A special moment, or the memory of your favorite meal that your mom used to cook for you, even though it's not necessarily the same food. And that memory will awaken your emotions and feelings, and you will get excited or aroused or angry. And as I mentioned a few times in the podcast and a few minutes ago too, as a former chef, I have experienced myself, and I have seen people crying, I have seen people smiling, I have seen people having orgasms, I am not kidding. And I've had them too. And even getting angry because of the texture of something they are eating. And, you know, when I have prepared the same food but with different texture, not necessarily flavor, but different textures, the emotions and feelings are different, okay? And I said that's besides flavors and smells. So even our tongue plays a big role in the development of the sense of touch. So that we can understand the world, in this case, food or whatever we put in our mouth, or kissing someone, or, you know, biting something, or even for defense. In my physical education sessions, I have included different textures, shapes, sizes, as part of a program. I do have like medicine balls, and these medicine balls have different textures and different sizes. Exercise bands, again, with different textures and sizes. I have different types of handles for the bands, or I use tennis ball and I use little play balls, and they're all different sizes and textures. There's spiky ones, there's one that are softer, there's one that are more squishy. I include barefoot exercises, let's say in the grass, in mats, in concrete or asphalt, and sand and soil, balance board, and even tree branches. And all of these things I include when I do group classes and I do group sessions. I try to get each member to experience all of these different things in a class, so that they're not just working out, you know, and breaking a sweat and whatnot, but that there's a sensorial stimulation, so that the physical education process is much more complete, okay? And the response is incredible. I've had clients, you know, from, hey man, I feel much more in control and aware of my body and surroundings. I feel like, you know, touching something now is different. Like I have much more sensation. Or to be able to see how Alzheimer's, stroke, or dementia patients start having much more control on and confidence, right? Even when they cannot verbalize it. Because of their condition, you can see it in their eyes, and not just in their eyes, right? They're not, they're not as grumpy, they're not as frustrated, they're not afraid to fall, they're much more willing to move and trying new things, and that happens subconsciously many times. So the sense of touch itself contributes and promotes movement literacy and movement precision and physical literacy in general, not just consciously, but subconsciously. In fact, that's how it begins. Everything begins subconsciously because we come an empty blanket, right? We do have some information that's being passed on our DNA and whatnot, but we don't know about, we're not conscious about it. And that's how it begins. So, and that's very important too. Okay? I think there's nothing better than allowing our kids to play around barefooted without, you know, too much skin protection. We gotta let them play in the mud. You know, we have to let them play when it's windy or under the rain, or, you know, play on trees or do rough play with other kids. I had a conversation here in the podcast with Lenore Skenazy, which is the president of a organization called Let Grow. And she wrote a book about free-range kids and the importance of this. And there's a doctor who's part of the organization. I don't remember his name, but it's one of the doctors. I do have in a list of people that I'm looking to contact to have conversations. But anyways, we're talking about this, the important thing is, of these things, right? And how, again, not just the physical aspect and the movement literacy aspect, but also the social aspect that is very important. And also, you know, they learn about the world, as I've been saying. They know about the weight of things, about the texture of trees, about the texture of grass, about how the mud feels, and the mud here feels different than that other mud. So they're literally having science literacy in the most natural and the most intuitive way. And even develop a very, very strong character and an immune system, right? Knowing the weight of something, they understand how much they can do and how less they can do, or how little, or finding different ways to do things. They understand how hard it is to fight with another kid, and they find different ways to, let's say, win the fight or whatnot. And I'm not saying put your kids to fight. I'm saying that let it happen naturally. If it happens, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a learning experience. And also the immune system strengthens, okay, when they play, and that's through touch, right? Not necessarily through touch, right? But the air is part of it, and things and pathogens that go in our body and whatnot. But the sense of touch has a big role also in the development of a good immune system, strengthening of the skin so that we can handle more things and whatnot. And this keeps working through the entire lifespan, okay? Something I've heard a lot, unfortunately, when I mention this sort of exercises that I do to help people better, is, well, I'm not a kid anymore, you know? Why should I play like that? Or why should I move like that? Or yeah, but, you know, you do that with all people who have lost their senses. And they don't understand that is the point. Right? The point is to preserve and improve what you have developed as a baby, as a kid, and then, you know, throughout life, to improve upon it and to maintain it throughout the rest of your life, so that either you don't lose it as an old person, right, or at any stage of your life, and so that if something happens, that information will be saved on your neural system and your brain and whatnot, and it'll be easier. There you go, there's the cops. It'll be easier for you to get it back or to deal with that situation. The more experiences we've had as we were kids, the better rehabilitation. That's been proven, the better rehabilitation process and the easier the rehabilitation process is when things happen. Okay? And I mean, and it's not like people are not working out. As I said, I've had clients who say they're like, damn it, shit, man, I feel like a workout. It's just in a different way. I'm not this type of fitness coach who's looking for the six-pack or the flat belly. I'm looking for, you know, to help you move better. So you're going to feel the burn. You're going to break a sweat. You're going to feel tired, and that you're working your strength and all of the components of fitness that, you know, most people know. However, in a way that it is more integrative and that you can integrate practically and functionally to your life and then to many other things that are not just looking good in a pair of pants. Unfortunately, you know, I've seen how parents have prohibited kids to be barefooted or, you know, with short pants. They don't let them go outside. I have a couple of neighbors that are like that. And my daughter go and play with them and whatnot. But, you know, my daughter has to go to their home. There's no outside play. There's very, very little outside play. And it's just they have to be begging for it. And that is very, very dangerous to the development of these kids. they cover these kids with lotions, like extreme sunscreen. Like they look completely white. Even when their kids are white, they look whiter because they're covered with sunscreen. They cover them with hats and glasses and sweaters and gloves. Come on. To go to a pool or to go to the beach or, you know, just to play around. I've seen it and it's very frustrating. And again, you know, in the parks and Disney parks and whatnot, I've seen that. I go to a farmer's market in downtown Orlando. There's a little playground there and it's very full of kids playing. And you see, you know, the overprotection, hats, glasses, shoes. And when the natural thing of the kids is just take all these things away because they're inhibiting, right? They prohibit them to move freely. And parents go back and, you know, they say, no, keep them on, keep your shoes on, or keep your sweater on, or keep your jacket on, or your hat on. And the kids get confused and frustrated and whatnot. Anyways, there's physical education classes, you know, due to laws and regulation that have been eliminating playing outside, playing contact recreational activities, field trips. I recently found out or read that the state of New York is, there's someone in the state of New York that is trying to eliminate field trips to the post office. That is a big what the fuck, right? It was just because, you know, when they go to the post office, then a box or can fall on a kid, or, you know, they can get cut with paper. What the hell? These are learning experiences. And I mean, come on, the person who sues just because of a little accident in any field trip, it's being very irresponsible. And it's promoting this culture of laziness, of weakness, of bad behaving kids because they're not having real world experiences through that sense of touch. Okay? There's doctors who are promoting these things too. And of course, you know, there's conditions that require protection, but when there is no condition, I've heard and read reports and read papers of, you know, doctors promoting these things. Despite the fact and proof that stimulating the sense of touch through the entire life is of great benefit, and benefit not just for, again, to know what's going on out there, but for general movement, for rehabilitation of different conditions, development of the kid, social interaction, physical strength, just to mention a few. And I think we should experience. So my recommendation is, we'll do that in a couple more minutes. Okay, so that's it for today. I have to go, but that's it for today. I try to cover as much as possible in the sense of touch, and perhaps I would cover a little more when I touch. See what I did there? The pun? I touch other senses. I'm just a lame joke. Anyways, because all of these things are related, so the sense of touch will be part of always of the other senses that I'll be again touching in the next series of episodes. Hopefully every 2 weeks. I've been studying and working a lot and trying to get clients, and I'll be moving out of where I'm moving, so there's a lot of things going on. But every 2 or 3 weeks, you're gonna have a new episode, and then we're gonna go to the norm of every 2 weeks. But I do want to get individual attention. Another thing I want to mention is that if you feel like I missed something that I should have, that you think I should have mentioned in this episode of the sense of touch or any other that on the senses, let me know. Send me a voice message through the Anchor. Send me a voice message that are going to be through that link that's going to be on the description of the episode, or send me an email. My contact email. I have a new email for the podcast, so I'm gonna put it there, and you can just contact me through there and feel free to it. Okay, for now, though, I recommend and I will encourage you to give yourself the opportunity and allow yourself to experience as many textures, as many sizes, shapes, weights, temperatures, pressures as possible. Okay? Work out naked. That's, believe me, I've done it, and it's not just the sense of liberation of movement, right? But also it has helped me with improving my body awareness, right? Where body parts and the acceptance of my body too and whatnot. So try it. Work out in your underwear. You know, go skinny dipping when you can do it. With your kids, allow them to go barefooted outside. If you are a personal trainer or someone who works with movement, try to implement these things with your people, and you will see the great difference, all right? And do it yourself too as a trainer, and explore different movements that include sensorial stimulation. And that'll help you to be in the path of be more of a physical educator than this, you know, the trainer of a six pack and flat bellies and whatnot. Not that it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't support that, but if you do it, yeah. But anyways, integrate more. The more you integrate, you will have a more wider spectrum of services, right? Hey, and if you're trying those things, by the way, you know, regular people that are exercising or trainers or whatnot, see what memories come up. What knowledge come up, what emotions or feelings come up while you're doing these things, right? If you go skinny dipping, what's going on there? And that'll help you also explore your emotions and explore your psyche, right? And then your feelings and your brain and whatnot, and your mind. Okay, so include them. And that's it until next time. And as always, keep moving, right? I know I will keep moving. You keep moving too, right? As a reminder, again, contact me through email or voicemail, whatnot. All the information of this episode will be there, and the next episode will be on the sense of smell. All right. Well, you know what? It'll be whatever sense I have ready. Again, if you have information about this, share it with me, and I'll put it there in the episode, and then I'll even give you a shout out for sharing any research on the senses. All right. Thank you for listening, and again, keep moving. Bye.